Outrocast.
Richard, I'm going to say good morning. I'm assuming you're on the West Coast, so it's still morning out there.
I am, yes. Where are you?
New York.
Okay.
The other comedy elitist area. So how's your day going aside from having to do press and, you know, answer the same questions over and over and over again about they're going to know?
Oh, no, it's going great. I love talking about comedy, and I've seen a few of your episodes, and you are very good at, you know, talking to people and asking good questions. So, no, I love doing this stuff.
That's great to hear, because I think with comedians, you have the people who hate doing the interviews and they hate talking to anyone who's a pedestrian. And then you have the comedians who are able to turn on and off and are functional human beings. And you come across as a functional human being, you know, for a comic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, back in the day, you could just be a weirdo that kind of went on stage and, you know, was kind of a misanthrope and just told jokes and stuff like that. But I think where comedy is going now, you have to be kind of a real person, because, you know, people, my feeling is that people want to hear somebody that knows what they're going through and can like, and can relate, and we can laugh together. And I think that takes more than just saying something you wrote.
Yeah. I think I remember early into Mark Maron's WTF podcast, where he was kind of complaining about how the next generation of comedian was so well adjusted and they didn't have the prerequisite dark side. I think he was starting that with Andy Samberg and Jason Sudeikis and all that, and going like, you guys are normal. What's the deal with this? Now, you did come from a normal job before all this, working in tech.
Mm-hmm.
Were you kind of like the most weird person in the normal job? Was that your kind of deal?
Definitely was the weirdest person in the normal job. And I have the Mark Maron badge. If you know, if he wants validation for me, I had a really, really messed up childhood, so I'm fully qualified to do this. But I had a normal job first, because I'm Indian descent, and my parents, Indian families are very adamant about you getting like some sort of white collar job. And you have to just prove yourself there first before you're allowed to do anything else. So I was a computer programmer, but it just was not for me. And eventually I was like, they were never happy with the decision to quit and do comedy, but you know, they have to deal with it.
Isn't that, but before we talk about they're gonna know, isn't that kind of every ethnicity in a way with the first generation? Because sometimes when you're making the forced conversation, people go, you know, my Latin temper, and you're like, doesn't every nationality have a temper? You know, my pride as an Irish person. You go, doesn't every nationality have a pride kind of thing?
That's 100% true. I think that, also like, they go like, oh, you know, well, hey, I'm Indian, so I'm late to all my parties, you know, like,
I'm Jewish. I like food. And you're like, doesn't everyone like,
yeah, you know how Jewish people love to eat, right?
Exactly. So, you know, just, I keep saying the name of your album, They're Gonna Know. And I love the way that it starts out, where you talk about Wednesday night being kind of the night.
Yeah.
To some extent, I don't want to give away what the bit is and all that. But if you're in a different city, would you go, hey, Tuesday night, would you change it night to night?
I think, yeah, if it's a weekday, for sure. I mean, I respect those people that are coming out on a weekday to see comedy when they have work the next day. To me, those are the most fun people. You know, like, I've done comedy on all days of the week, and, you know, I've seen all the different crowds, and you know, Friday they're always, you know, it's fun because it's usually full, but you notice that these are the people that you know, they work the full week, and they have an obligation to themselves to go out and do something fun on the weekend.
And yeah, a little while ago, you know, Darren the Real Human Being, a friend texted me and went, hey, we're doing birthday drinks tonight, and today is a Thursday. I went, awesome, you don't deal with the people who are living for the weekend. With your lifestyle, obviously most of the gigs are Friday, Saturday, that kind of a thing. So most people's weekend is actually your work week. Do you actually take off Mondays and Tuesdays or anything like to reverse that whole lifestyle thing?
Yeah, Monday, you're right. Yeah, Monday and Tuesday is usually like a date night or, you know, go out, see a show, you know, like I love going to live music, you know. So, I definitely have to do that during the week. So yeah, it is the opposite, but I love it. You know, going out on Monday is so fun. There's you're the you, no lines, you can eat wherever you want, no
Yeah.
reservations. Oh, it's awesome.
It's just, is it, was it Bourdain who said, don't get fish if you're going out on a Monday because there's no delivery trucks?
I didn't know that rule, but that makes a lot of sense. Yes, and definitely, I would probably wouldn't do like midnight sushi on a Monday. Like,
Good point. That is a man of experience. So this record that you have, some comics when they're putting out an album, that means they're retiring the material. And then others use it as a starting point because they're going to keep building on that material because it evolves. Which camp are you in putting out this record?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I see. Well, okay, this album is just sort of like a snapshot of what I am doing at this point in my life. And since the album, like some of the jokes have gotten better, you know, like because you listen to the album and then you go, oh, I could have added something there. I could have like that could have or those two jokes go together. So now it's a new thing. And you know, here's the thing. Until like I'm ultra Dave Chappelle, John Mulaney famous, I want this piece of art to just keep on getting packaged in a better and better way. So if I were to get a Netflix special, you know, I have some jokes on here that are like really important, and you know, I would put those on that special as well.
It's tough to know how important a comedy special is these days. This isn't a real question. This is a conversation piece here. Because when I was a kid back in the Stone Age, you'd see the big comedians every 2 years or 3 years got their HBO special. The up-and-comers every 1 to 2 years got their Comedy Central special. And it became this like big line in the sand thing about specials. And now you find some comedians who are huge just don't care about specials. And then others do that Louis C.K. once a year attempt kind of a thing. Where are you with this whole comedy special thing?
Yeah, I think it's all about just putting out good work, you know. And my job is like, hey, you know, I want to make people laugh in a way that's unique to me. You know, like so I think of my job as a comedian as like, you know, I just watched that Arnold documentary and he keeps saying, be useful, be useful. And that's what I really want to do. I just want to be useful. Like, you know, because hey, if you want to laugh, there's a million comedians. You know, you can go put on, you know, whatever you want. But hopefully, I'm doing something that makes you laugh in a specific way that you can only get from me. So, you know, yeah, I don't really think about specials or anything anymore. Like, I'm sort of just like cataloging my material. So, you know, like my social media. Like, if I come up with a really, really great bit, and I just go like, hey, I think this bit is done. You know, like. So I'll just put the video up and then everybody who follows me on social media can just enjoy that, you know?
It sounds like, to rudely interrupt you right there, it
No, it's not
sounds
really.
like your tech background kind of informed a different kind of marketing and preparation than had you been a comic who started when they were 19 and all they did was stand up.
Oh,
Meaning
yeah.
you have a healthy attitude towards social media, but you also get it from being a tech person.
Yeah. You know that I think that's really interesting. Like people that only do stand up versus someone that's had a job first. Like I think we are at a point now where a really good stand up is someone that lived their life first and now is talking about it. So yeah, I don't regret not starting at 19. I am good at social media. Yeah, so that's definitely been a benefit. I didn't realize it, but you know, I would just have a bunch of videos go viral and when you're good at something, you actually don't realize that you are good at it.
Except if you're Eddie Van Halen, then I think you know that you're pretty good at
Yeah,
what.
I wonder if he had some demons though. He's like, man, that solo sucked. Like, damn it.
I think he actually did, yes. He had demons most of his life. But that's a really good point that I never thought about, that a lot of people don't realize they're good at something. They just kind of figured out how to do it their way because they couldn't do it the normal way. And then at some point, people started telling them they were the second coming.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good way to approach stand up because, well, I think you know what it is like you end up bridging your faults with your strengths. So, and I always felt like it was good to so I have a really bad problem with like I'm not able to pay attention very well. I right now I if I'm engaged in something, we're talking, so we're having a dialogue. I'm engaged, but I'm not able to watch movies or TV shows and follow a plot because it's very passive. So my weakness is that I don't really watch much stand up because it doesn't really it doesn't register with me. So I ended up doing stand up, I think, in a kind of a unique way because I wasn't really modeling anybody. And so I think, you know, I may have just developed a unique style because you know, I'm not copying anyone really.
That's a really good point. This is a really weird name drop, and it's not trying to be a name drop. This is just like having a conversation with somebody, realizing you just heard wisdom. And do you know the comedian character actor Fred Stoller?
That name is familiar, but I don't
He was
know.
on Seinfeld and Friends and a lot of different things. If he was in Dumb and Dumber, if you Google Fred Stoller, you'll go like, oh, that guy, that guy. So I was interviewing him like 5, 6 years ago. I was asking, so, you know, what's the last concert that you went to? And I was asking a question about concerts. And he basically said he didn't like going to concerts because there's nothing he wanted to do for 2 hours. And at first I went, how could somebody not want to do that? And now every time I go out, I go, oh, this comedy show better be under 2 hours. That's my attention shot, just like yours.
Absolutely. I think no one wants to do anything for 2 hours. Like m music is doable because you don't have to pay that much attention and you can kind of like just feel it. So I'm okay with music, but in terms of like a movie, like there's no way I'm gonna pay attention. I actually lo loved the movie Dune because you didn't have to pay attention. You just had to be like, oh my God, I'm in a space desert.
So then you go further into my assumption that comedians don't watch comedies.
You know, I don't think that's a hard and fast rule. I think that's just for me because of my attention problem. But the thing is, for me to laugh at something, like I'm not gonna laugh at like a regular comedy. Like I really love like very dark stuff. And the longer you do stand up, the more you start laughing at just things going wrong. like to me, the funniest thing is like a comedian just having a really bad set. That's
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious. It's like it's so much better than a comedian crushing.
So you enjoy the conversations where you talk with other comics about who's a hack? Are you one of those comics?
You know, I'm trying to be better about not doing that because the industry is very much like built on like just forging positive relationships. But yeah, if I have like a very trusted cohort with me, I will, you know, it's just great to be like, man, that guy sucks. Like, that guy stole that joke from that guy for sure.
It's kind of funny which professions have that and which don't. Like, I can't imagine a bunch of, for example, dentists getting together and go like, oh, you see the fillings? They're not talking shop at all. I can't imagine dentists at all want to talk shop, but comedians immediately want to talk about what's funny and what's not funny and who's not funny. But back to you here. Point of curiosity, for being a tech guy, your website does not have tour dates.
Oh yeah, I need to fix that. So basically what's happening?
Well, sometimes, again, to rudely interrupt you, sometimes people are going, well, that's because all my dates are on bands in town. And other people go, well, that's because I'm mostly doing drop-ins and I don't like to publicize that. Is that what that is for you?
You know, so I think entertainment is changing a lot now. So here's the thing, like I live in so I live in Los Angeles, and in Los Angeles, we're talking, there's so many comedians here. You can, you know, throw a stone and hit one. And so shows in Los Angeles are like we do spots. We do 10-minute spots on shows with like six other comics. So for me to like list all of my spots around town, I mean, I don't know that it's like it's cool, but I don't know that someone's really gonna drive an hour to be like, oh my God, I'm gonna watch Richard for 10 minutes. Like that's wonderful, but I don't really care to advertise that stuff. So I only put the really big shows up. So I'm headlining the Punchline in September. So that'll be like a really big thing. Also the way entertainment is now, like you don't really have to travel that much. So like this album is going to be distributed all over the place. You know, it'll go to Sirius XM and, you know, the digital aspect is what's, is where all the distribution is. Like I can physically go to a town and perform for 100 people on a Saturday night, or my album on Sirius can just get listened to by, you know, 10,000 people, you know, while I sit here and talk to you, you know, so.
That makes a lot of sense when it comes to how you're handling your career as a person who gets career options and technology and all that. So you're not, the vibes I get from you is you're not one of those comedians who's really just using it as a springboard to be an actor or a screenwriter. You're a comic to be a comic.
Oh yeah. 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 I just love stand up. I mean, I think it's the thing. I am good at acting. Acting, you know, you need like other people behind you to do that. Stand up is this thing that I can do on my own. I'm in full control. It doesn't feel like people are hitting me with a bunch of input. It's very pure, and that's my favorite part.
Right. You like doing the art itself, not the business behind the art.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love just, you know, I'll pace around in my apartment and just, you know, just be telling a joke, and then, you know, I'll just say it like over and over in different ways and stuff like that. And, you know, when I think about that, I go like, I think most people are maybe not doing that, you know, like that's, so if I enjoy just pacing around my apartment and trying to talk to myself and make something funny, then, you know, that's what I should be doing. You know, I think a lot of people do treat stand-up as like, hey, here's my character. You could place this in a movie if you wanted to, you know, but that's not me.
Exactly. Well, the last question before I let you go, music has come up a few times right here. You mentioned being a music person. I can see a guitar related piece of artwork behind you.
Oh, yeah.
What's the last concert that you went to for fun? Not because it was an obligation or you promised somebody you'd go to their gig if they went to yours.
I was up in San Francisco. This is a major throwback, but so the headliner was Alkaline Trio. They're
I've seen them.
Rock. Oh, you've seen them. Okay, great. Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
In high school, they were, you know, they were very like seminal for me. Like I learned how to play their songs and stuff like that, and so this was like a great throwback to go see them. And then their opener actually was this hardcore band called Drug Church. And,
oh, yeah, they're great. I saw them open for the Chats. Very good.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. Yeah. And, you know, I went to go see Alkaline Trio, but I was wowed by Drug Church because his commanding presence, it was so powerful. Like, and he held the microphone in a weird way. Like for a hardcore band, he was holding the mic like this, like straight up and down, like he was like a BBC announcer or something. And like his mannerisms were so interesting. And but he's screaming. And watching him, man, it really just it inspired me for my stand up to be like, I just want to, like, he was so commanding.
That level of fame of Alkaline Trio, to me, it's an intriguing thing with the bands like Alkaline Trio, Face to Face, all these bands that kind of had that major label moment where they're pushing the radio singles. Then it didn't happen. They went away for a couple of years, and then they came back to bigger crowds than they ever played for without necessarily having to do hits or pander to the industry. And it became this kind of gig where they go, we'll do 40 gigs a year. We'll make more money than we ever did. And they became everybody's like weekend warrior kind of band because all the punks had to grow up and get jobs.
Yeah, it was definitely funny to see. I saw a mom and daughter combo at the Alkaline Trio show, and they were all covered in Alkaline Trio tattoos. But yeah, we are seeing, you know, it is funny when you let your art sit for 20 years, like Alkaline Trio did, like, people find it and they just start becoming fans. Like, look at all these bands that are coming back. Like the Deftones are back now, you know.
You see that Coachella? How many people they're playing to at Coachella? And you go, oh my God, what's the last time they had a hit song? And they're bigger than ever.
Yeah, exactly. Like that stuff doesn't go away. So, you know, that's kind of the plan with all the stuff I'm doing, like with this album. Like hopefully it just sits there and hey, people can discover it this week or people can discover it in 20 years. I don't care.
And then hopefully, like all these bands, you have the 20th anniversary edition with the four tracks that were cut out, and then the
Oh
six
yeah.
color variants, and the special liner notes by whoever the David Wild of that time is.
Oh yeah, that would be great because one thing that was funny was so the 2 nights previous to recording this album, I bombed really bad at a show. I was like, okay, well, I just give up. Like I have to record my album and I'm bad at comedy. And so I went to go to night of the album. I get on stage. There's a guy sitting in the front row. He was sitting front row when I bombed 2 nights ago. And I just looked him in the eye and we just laughed at each other. And then I just did the show and it went great. So, but like, there was like a knowing moment. He was like, I saw what happened.
So what we've just learned is Richard is our favorite punk rock comedian that we don't know outright is a punk rock comedian.
Oh, a big punk rocker. I mean, yeah, I've been going to hardcore shows for a long time. I got my own guitar right here. So, yeah,
The
big man.
secret guitarist comedian club, there's you and Adam Ferrara. So
Yes.
now we know there's the secret community.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we're all I think, you know, it just becomes like art. You know, we just want to like I think people who like performing, we just like creating. You know, like I do, you know, we like painting, we like playing music, we like, you know, any type of art.
Well, Richard, fantastic to learn all these different sides of you. Glad to know there's more touring. Glad to know this is not the last album, et cetera. You know, keep up the great work and looking forward to what's to come from you professionally.
Yeah, thank you so much, Darren. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is, album will be a good springboard to more stuff.
I like your Kiss shirt.
Well, thank you very much. We'll come back to that. But Ashley, Jared, you both look extra bright and wonderful today. Is that because of
Two
Dawn's
parts of time.
professional manual pot and pan dish detergent?
It's mainly because of the lighting right now, which is really helping. But we're partnering up with Dawn Professional pot and pan detergent. I own well, I own, Jesus. We
Wow.
own a coffee shop. It's called Audra's
Yes.
Coffee House and Lounge in
Yes.
South Kingston, Rhode
But
Island.
he runs, okay?
Yeah,
Like,
I
he
love
doesn't even let me do, like, okay, so this Dawn Professional Manual Pot and Pan Detergent, it's awesome. And I know it's awesome because I got to use it when I washed the dishes at Audrey's for the first time the other day. Like, he does not let me back in that kitchen. He doesn't. He
yeah.
doesn't want me. It's very much a
It's just there's.
nuisance. He's like, can you go and just make sure that everybody's happy up front?
If you work in restaurants, you understand you there is something to be said about too many cooks in the kitchens. Like, just get out, please. I love you. Please get out.
So anyway, where was I even going with that?
Well, anyway, we were talking about Dawn Professional. You got to use it. So we have a three-bay sink, obviously, that I just wash dishes there constantly because I'm working at Audrey's all the time, which I do by choice because I really care about it. And so, as a business owner, I'm always looking for product to help me be efficient and work smarter rather than harder. And Dawn Professional really allows me to do that. So it comes out with like a better clean, a
Superior
superior
clean.
clean. Good word usage. It comes out with a superior clean. I don't have to change over the sinks as much. I know this is all like little stuff, but if you're a business owner, especially a restaurant owner, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And I just really enjoy it. And we had the opportunity to partner up with Dawn, and I was 100% down with it.
Well, you mentioned Audrey's before I could, and that's a point of interest and intrigue for me. Because a lot of people want to own a restaurant or an eating establishment, but then once they do, they realize, oh, I actually don't want to be here. I'd rather be a silent partner. I'm curious
Okay,
what.
yeah, but that's not what he is. He is totally involved. If he's in Rhode Island, he's there every single day. I don't think, like, I have you, besides like Christmas and Easter, I don't think that you're ever in the state of Rhode Island without popping in there once or at least once a day. He's so hands-on. He is the one that is cooking and cleaning a lot of the time.
Well, I'm like a general
And
manager.
I think I wasn't prepared when we started that he would be like, it would still be this amount of hours, this many years in.
Yeah, I think
I didn't know restaurants.
it's a if I'm like self-reflecting on myself, I think a positive and a negative of myself is that I really enjoy working. I enjoy manual labor, like getting my hands dirty. It makes me feel valued. Probably because it's just all I know. I've always worked in restaurants. So I started busing and then just started moving my way up and serving and bartending and so on and so forth. And you know, negative to that is like, it's an addiction that I have where like she said, if I'm home, it's like, I have to go in. I feel like I have to. So, but of course, you know, that's the great thing about Dawn Professional, to bring it back, is that it gives me opportunities to work efficiently. Which are things that I need, because if I don't have things that help me become efficient, I won't be efficient.
Yeah. And I have said so many times to him, like, is there like a way that you can work smarter and not harder? And I got with the Dawn Professional, if only we can, you know, have more stuff like that for the other tasks.
Yeah. Dawn Professional wants to like turn into a general manager for me.
Exactly. Let me know.
We can, if you dream it and you hope it can happen and you put it on that vision board, it's possible. But are you too ready for a compliment, or are you maxed out for the day with compliments?
I think we're maxed out.
Oh, I'm not. Never.
Okay.
Jared,
well, then
compliments. Well, like I tell him every day, you're such a, okay.
So this is intended to be a compliment. When somebody says, what do you do for a living? The average person go, oh, I'm a teacher, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I own a deli, that kind of a thing. With you two, you were both on television shows regularly watched by millions of people, but then you have Audrey's going on, but then you're spokespeople, but then also you do red carpet interviews. I liked what you did for Mission Impossible, that recent one right there. Both of you, when someone says, what do you do for a living? Do you have an easy answer?
No, we get so awkward, or I do. I think Jared just says that he owns a coffee shop, depending on where we are. I think he probably says that he owns a restaurant. And then I am like, I was on The Bachelor, and that opened the door for me to do a lot of things. And I just get super cringy. But yeah, we dabble in quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, we say sometimes, like for Ashley and myself as well, we'll say TV personality and influencer.
Media personality. That way, like, we have like social media.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. We're going to get really philosophical right here. One day we're all going to die. And I, as dramatic and as Ashley hates when I say this, but
he always is saying one day we're going
to
die.
Because I find beauty in that, to kind of accept that and to realize that, like, just try to do the best you can. And I do really enjoy the idea that Ashley and I have been able to tap our fingers into so many different businesses and areas of life. Like, you know, I graduated college with history. Now own a restaurant. I was on TV. I've gotten to interview Tom Cruise on the red carpet of Mission Impossible. Like, there's so many different facets that I've been able to endeavor that, I just feel lucky.
Outrocast.